to the telephone in the kitchen for a couple of weeks, gathering dust and splashes of juice and coffee. Every time Sophie glimpsed it, she felt a twist of irritation, both for the unappealing invitation it contained and the careless Americanisms woven through the prose. Jeff had been born in Bristol and acquired a blue for cricket at Cambridge. He'd had an edge of old-fashioned Queen's English to his voice that Sophie had once, briefly, found rather enticing. Before retraining as a barrister in his late 20s, he had eked out as pauper-like an existence as theirs had been in those days, freelancing in orchestras while Anne worked in a clothes shop. Now he settled disputes between wealthy divorcing couples and said, "Pal." Sophie had been lost to such uncharitable thoughts one evening when Andrew had snatched the email from under her nose, saying,
"I'll tell him no."
He had begun, slowly, to tear the piece of paper in two while Sophie watched. Momentarily glad, and then suddenly afraid that he might be ripping up something infinitely more irrevocable than a tatty piece of A4. "Let's say yes," she had murmured, reaching out a hand to stop him. "A holiday in America. Say yes," she had repeated, taking a step backwards as an indication that this spurt of positive energy did not extend to taking command of organising the project. "Like he says, we'll probably love it." As the aeroplane gathered speed down the runway, pressing her into her seat, Sophie's thoughts drifted back wistfully to the easy harmony of their holiday the previous summer, 2 weeks in Italy. Naples, Positano, Pompeii, sun, sea, and Roman ruins, ingredients to keep all the various ages and temperaments of her family happy. For the start of that journey, she had sat between the girls, gripping their slim, nail-bitten fingers as the concrete complex of Gatwick shrank to a blur, seeking to ease her own customary terrors about air travel rather than those of her daughters. It had even, perhaps morbidly, occurred to her that it wouldn't be a bad moment to die, with all four of them side by side, chain-linked, Andrew included, thanks to Millie thoughtfully reaching across the aisle for her father's hand as the plane's snout lifted towards the sky. Andrew's hand was inches from Sophie's now, yet she felt no inclination to reach for it. Olivia and Millie were on tour with the London Youth Orchestra, first violin and cello. At the tender ages of 17 and 15 respectively, Andrew had been talking to them a lot recently about how to prepare for and what to expect from music college, especially Olivia, whose application to the Royal College of Music and a clutch of the best conservatoires would be submitted that autumn. Sophie swallowed, wanting both her offspring so badly that all the recently acquired teenage carapaces, the flouncing, the moodiness, the closed doors and antisocial whirring of laptops, seemed too minor even to consider forgiving. She conjured a fond image of Olivia, her violin pinioned under her chin, all flashing elbows and arms and hips as she played, like a sapling in a high wind. Millie, in spite of being younger and the more volatile character, tended to fold herself round her cello as if it literally grew out of her, bowing with smooth, fluid movements as the soft, gingery gold streams of her hair swung across the struts. She was the more restful to watch, and the better musician, Andrew had occasionally, in hushed tones, confided, in spite of both girls' history of excellent grades. The tour was the opportunity of a lifetime: Munich, Vienna, Salzburg, and several other places that Sophie could not remember.
"Poor Stapletons,"
she murmured, pressing her fingers to her popping ears as the plane continued to rise steeply and the lackluster sky began to seep flecks of rain.
"Poor?
Getting this weather, and our Volvo and grotty carpets, and a weedy garden and barns traffic, and a view of the river only if you climb onto the windowsill in the top bedroom and crane your neck round the tree that probably caused the massive crack in the cellar."
"When you've quite finished."
"I only meant that from those pictures they sent, it's pretty clear who's getting the better deal. Detached double garage, set in all that unspoilt land."